I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're talking about the Wizards. Do you like what they did? They moved Otto Porter and Markieff Morris. This year they have made three deals.
You could have stopped with moved Otto Porter. And yes, I'm happy with that.
This year they've moved Kelly Oubre, who they drafted in the first round a couple years ago. Otto Porter, who they drafted in the first round and gave a max contract.
It also kind of tells you what a farce the NBA trade deadline kind of is, because the Wizards move Markieff Morris, who's banged up with a neck injury. I don't think he's played like in the last, 20 games. And another team will just be like, sure, we'll take him if it makes the numbers work.
Well, it's expiring contracts.
Yeah, expiring deal. And the Wiz take on Wes Johnson, who's been very underwhelming in his NBA
career. Wizards traded a nothing for a nothing.
Right. Yes.
That's what it came
pretty
down
much
to.
But they've unloaded three guys, and you can give us your take at 800-636-1067. The trade deadline, though, also gets on the nerves of some players because their names get brought up and maybe they are not going to be traded.
Right.
And even beyond this season, Kevin Durant, who at one point was my favorite guy in the NBA, I've kind of lost it. He peaked. His pinnacle was when he won the MVP, and he gave a very touching speech,
right,
thanking everybody.
Yeah, right.
Ever since then, he's become kind of a bitch.
He's turned into like a heel.
He's always on social media.
You know what he is? He's grumpy. He's a grumpy guy.
He's got fake accounts.
He decided he was just going to be himself. He was going to stop being like fake nice.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And
he was just going to be himself.
And yesterday, so he's been silent to the media for 7 or 8 days ever since like these rumors that he wants to go to the Knicks have been out there. And yesterday, he finally spoke to the media. But just listen, this is why I don't like him anymore.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications. Try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
All right, then. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't know if you can play the end of this clip.
That's probably the same thing I would tell
you. If you play it beyond that, he says, I'm tired of talking about all these trades or whatever. I just want to talk about the game.
The
guy
is,
asked him about the game, and he said, you don't care about that.
Well, you know what? I guarantee you that's an honest answer.
Right.
Right.
I guarantee
the problem
it's an
is these
answer.
Guys all need the media. The media has helped make them a star. I mean, their talent makes them a star, but the media hyping them up, doing stories about them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of course they need
showing
the media.
Their games
so
on
gone.
TV.
Durant is so gone. I don't know where he's going to end up, but he's gone.
Why is he so insecure? He's an insecure MF-er.
Maybe he is.
Like, if I've won an NBA MVP and I've won a couple titles, you know, I would kind of have that go F yourself.
Well, part of the reason,
criticize me. Who cares?
He's insecure because people joned on him for joining the Warriors to get his ring.
He probably feels like, I need to go somewhere else and prove I can do this with my own guys.
Well, that's what it is. It's a legacy thing.
I also think
he can't stand Draymond. He probably doesn't like the media out there. He's just gone. I don't know if he goes to the Knicks or
if he doesn't like the media
Clippers
in Golden
or wherever.
State, he's really going to hate the media if he goes to New York City.
Maybe. I don't know. He just needs a change of pace, and he's gone. He'll win another ring, so that'll be three for him, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be done after three.
I think he's frustrated because he wants to be the best player in the league and known as the best player, and everyone said, well, you're not the best because you haven't won any rings.
Right.
Then he goes and wins all the rings, and everyone's like, well, you're just on a good team.
You're a bandwagon jumper.
He just can't win.
Part of the insecurity.
But he should have seen that coming, though.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. He is insecure because he did win the MVP, and his numbers are as good, if not better. Like, when you look at efficiency, block shots, rebounds, all that stuff still puts up points. Not as much because he's got Steph and Clay and doesn't have to put up as many points. But the league now talks about James Harden. Mm-hmm. And Giannis and LeBron, of course. So he's kind of down the list now, where he was 1A LeBron.
We're not him. We don't walk in his shoes.
I don't care about Kevin Durant.
He makes so much.
For the Wiz, I care about him not at all.
All we say is just go out and make your $35 million or whatever you're making.
Go live your life. Be happy.
But it's easy for us to say that. Like, he's a different person. Yeah, of course.
Boo hoo. You have to talk about being traded. Oh, wah. Tough life you live.
But see, that's what I'm saying. So that's the reaction of most of the country. Right.
But this is why. It's because he's one of those guys who goes on social media and likes tweets, you know, that are like grilling other people or whatever. Mm-hmm. He gets into like spats. On, like, who? Why would you do
this? He's a millennial. All the millennials
that's
do it.
True. That's a very good point.
We don't think of these, you know, big NBA stars who are millennials. They're all millennials. Yeah.
When he first came into the league, and you forget, but like live stream and Ustream was big before these other social media sites hit. He would go on and he would like play music. He would DJ his own sets,
right?
Live for, like, he was happy go lucky.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
right.
But he's always been involved in, like, social media.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't be involved in the social media, but you don't have to start the back burner and forth accounts to, like, grill other players and pump yourself
up. That's just embarrassing.
He pumps himself up on social media.
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I can honestly say I've never had a burner Twitter account.
Right.
Well, it's just ridiculous.
Well, leave that to the fake Eric
Bickle.
You're
almost 50, though. All right. If you were 27,
yeah,
you
I
might.
Yeah, I know, but I've been involved in this since it's come out.
Yeah. Can we go to Mike?
Yeah,
DC?
we're not the was it the Colangelo doc that was running all the burner accounts for the Sixers?
Wait, blamed his wife, right? Did
big
we ever find out what happened?
Threw his wife under the bus. Big stupid, right. Big dumb dumb.
Let's go to Mike in DC. Mike, what's up, man? You're all in the jokes.
Hey guys, how you doing this morning?
What's up?
Look, do y'all know what was 1 year ago last this week?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
remind us.
2018. February 2018.
John Wall does those interviews in the Adidas camouflage while he's hurt. The team is on an 8-3 run, and he refers to his teammates as those guys. I'm happy for those guys. And I remember being at a sports bar watching that, saying, is he really saying this? Mm-hmm. We are dealing with a John Wall situation. Not to mention, a team that gave John Wall a contract 2 years before, July 17, before he was ever going to collect money on it. The lesson here is John Wall was not our guy. Bad deal on the GM side, on the organization side, and this is about to be the 76ers 2012, if not worse. Well, this team is going to be bad for 5 years.
Well, we'll see. It depends on what they do with Beal. If Beal stays, I don't think they'll be as bad as you think.
If he stays, he'll keep them somewhat competitive?
Yeah.
That's my big fear, is be careful what you wish for. Like,
now, when I say competitive, I mean, you know, 30 to 38 wins.
Oof.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's not 10 wins. Sixers had 10 wins one year.
I think
that's a bad team.
I think it depends on who they put around him. Point is, though, you're going to be in that range where you've been, or like the Charlotte Hornets
it's
range.
It's purgatory is what it is.
You know
is.
What I mean? Like the Hornets, this year they might make the playoffs under 500. Sometimes they don't. It's you're just kind of stuck.
It's purgatory.
They are stuck. That's why I'm telling you, I would never want this job. It's terrifying.
Now, if they want to trade Beal and get a bunch of scrap for him.
Well, then you're going to bottom out.
Then you could be in that, you know, 13 to 20 win season.
Then you're
range.
Really going to bottom out.
I don't think
out.
You necessarily get scrap.
Well, you know what
you
I mean.
You can get from a contender, if there's a contender that's willing to do it, good young talent for Bradley Beal. And hopefully high picks.
Here's the problem, though, and it's been a problem for 18, 19 years. The plan, I think they do have plans, but they change all the time. Like, they had a different plan 3 days ago than their plan today. In fact, yesterday afternoon, they might have had two or three different plans. Because if the reports are true, again, if Candace Bruckner's report is true, is they were sniffing around Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, that's not tanking. That's not giving up. That's just trading assets and still trying to get better. And how much better are you really going
to
get
part
with Mike Conley
to give up
and Marc Gasol? How much better are you really going
to
get?
Unless it's deals to move them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Jason, was it in the plans to give up 148 to the Bucks? Was that in the plans? Or that doesn't need to be planned. That's just something that's going to happen.
They gave up 50 points in the first quarter. 85 halftime.
Listen, I don't like to, I don't want to say it, but Scottie Brooks can't coach his team up, at least defensively. They could score with him, but he does not inspire them to play defense. So,
and his first season as the coach.
Can't continue.
His first season as the coach, they were one game from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm certain he's a great coach, but he obviously can't inspire this troop.
That was
to play
the pinnacle.
Defense.
That's his ceiling here.
They were a game from the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep. John Wall jumping on the table. whole city was on fire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those days are done.
And now we're left with basically smoldering ruins.
Yes.
Is where we are.
It is what it is.
I mean, Wall's gone for over a year at this point, trading off pieces. Oh, it's just a big mess.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You were saying that you were letting people at MGM National Harbor in the poker room
take
pictures with it.
People want to see it.
Here's the way I view this ring. First of all,
you didn't play that long in your tournament.
I did not. I got bounced.
You always like to point that out,
JP. I got bounced out at 9:30.
Plus, he'll point out when he wins.
It was fine. Yeah, not a problem. Played till 9:30. I got it in with queens pre-flop, and I always think people are just gunning for my $300 bounty, so I rarely give them credit for a hand. And the guy had pocket kings. Crippled me. I lasted another 30 minutes, then I was bounced. I was done. But getting back to the ring, I don't deserve this ring. None of us deserve the ring. We're happy to take them from the Capitals. It's a very nice gift. I view myself as a caretaker of the ring for fans out in the D.C. area.
Sure.
And I'm willing to share it with them, let them put it on their finger, take a picture with it, hold it, look at it, the whole nine.
There's a couple of things.
Yeah.
Cakes also mentioned that, and then this is so douchey, that Cakes used his ring as a card protector.
I did not. That is untrue. I put it while I still
they
had
put it on his chips.
While I still had a stack in the tournament. It wasn't there for long. I did place it on top of the stack.
It's still
for
the same.
Hands.
It's still the same thing.
Just so people could look at it. Were I wasn't trying to be douchey.
Were you doing it for that reason, or was it because it was bothering you?
I want to share the ring with people.
Yeah,
and ring brings people great joy.
Right, it's true.
That's all
it does.
And then another thing is, don't you think you should walk around with some Purell or something because you have all those hurting.
A lot of germs.
Hands.
A lot of fecal matter.
They have Purell in the poker room.
Putting it all over their fingers and hands.
If you really start thinking
that
way, you can't even play poker.
I'm touching poker
you'll be
chips
such a germaphobe.
I was touching poker chips for 10 hours yesterday. You think if somebody just touches the ring a couple times, that's going to give me some sort of germ or virus?
How many consecutive days have you worn it? Have you worn it every day this week?
Two or three days this
week.
He'd be sleeping with it on his head.
I can't believe
that.
Really? Last 2 nights, yeah. Because I don't want to forget. I want to wear it on the show. I feel like the best place to wear this ring is right here on the show, right? While we're doing it, 4 hours. It's on NBC Sports Washington. I think this is the perfect place. So I don't want to put it like on my dresser or something and forget. So I'm trying to get in the habit of just keeping it on.
Now, are we really going to let Cakes get away with it? He's the caretaker of the ring for the Caps fans when he's taking it to the poker room to show everybody.
Well, what's wrong with that? I don't have a problem with that.
He's bragging. He's showing. It's show and tell.
He's like Frodo.
It's not like I'm going. You think I'm going to every person in the poker room? Hey, look at this ring. Look at this amazing ring. If people ask to see it, half the time I'm not even wearing it. It's in my stupid pocket. I'll take it out of my pocket.
And then all of a sudden it comes out of the pocket to go on top of the chips.
Because I'd be afraid you're going to end up in the washing machine. Then it's going to.
Well, I will say,
God only knows where it ends up.
I hate bringing up this person because all he wants is attention.
Oh, here we go.
Rom.
Oh, no.
I've now, like, if I'm wearing this, especially in a casino and it's in my pocket, Rom has this annoying habit of thinking he always has, like, a chip falling out of his pocket onto the casino carpet floor. When I have this not on my hand,
I'm constantly looking around, right?
Feeling in my pants to make sure that it's still
the
there.
The safest place this should be is either on your finger.
I agree.
or wherever your hiding place, storage place is in your house. Wow. Any other place?
Well, that's Cakes' entire house. It's a storage unit for all of his junk and tchotchkes.
That's the way I like
because,
it.
Because honestly, because we all lose stuff. If you just start getting the habit of taking it off and just putting it, because, you know, listen, this is very cool. I love it.
Of course.
And I'm going to wear it proudly until, you know, something else comes along. But if I just get in the habit of just putting it anywhere, I will lose it.
Yeah.
So I can't do that.
By the way,
I have to keep it on.
I have not found the perfect hiding place. Like if a robber came in or a burglar and ransacked my home.
Who
like,
says robber?
I mean, that's what they're doing. They're robbing
term.
A house.
I know. Right? It's a you know, funny duddy term.
What's a better term? A burglar?
Yeah, I like burglar.
I would say burglar.
Burglar greater than robber?
Yeah.
Okay, a burglar.
If
a
or
burglar,
thief. You could say thief.
A thief. Yeah. A ne'er-do-well.
A piece of garbage.
If I had a home invasion, I would say, you know.
Like, an, home I don't invader. Have the perfect place to hide it. I just don't know where that place is.
You're not
going
to really be able to hide it, but you just need to have a place where you know where it always is.
Yes.
It's either on your finger or it's there. In your jewelry box or whatever, by your ties, now, whatever
this,
it is.
This is a wacky idea, but I thought the best place I could hide it, you're going to laugh, you're going to joan, is we have one of those Keurig individual, you know, coffee pod makers at our house.
Right.
Uh-huh. I thought the best way is to tell my wife and everybody, look, I'm going to take this ring and the hiding place is going to be in one of the pods that is next to the Keurig.
So you just have an empty pod?
Sealed. No, no. It's sealed. Like you empty it
okay.
and you reseal it. You place it this inside the pod, and then it's just
takes. It's not a nuclear.
A robber is not going to come in and say, "Well, I need to go through these coffee pods to see if." Right.
But they might just
something
take the
is being hidden here.
They may just take the Keurig. Isn't it attached to the Keurig?
No, it's next to.
Oh, it's next.
Who would steal a Keurig? Who would steal a coffee maker?
Know.
I don't think you need to go to that extent.
Thrown out.
I don't think you need to go to that.
Yeah, that's going to be in the. It's going to be in the trash.
It's so difficult.
Yes, of course.
Just put it by. Just put it on to his brainstorming here.
You know what? Just lock your doors, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Trust me, I do.
I don't know if people of our generation have this. My mother has safes.
So she has, sure, you know, some people have safes.
You know, we have safety deposit box. If you put it in a safety deposit box, you'll never see it. You'll just die. But like a safe in your closet, like my parents have those.
Now, is the safe drilled into the ground?
No.
A robber could come in and just grab your safe and smash it with a hammer, and then they've got your Stanley Cup ring.
That's true.
Well, not like a Mickey Mouse safe.
It's true.
It has to be hidden in an ideal location.
If you have an idea for Cakes, 800-636-1067. Where should he hide it and let everybody know publicly?
I did not say that the coffee pod was the final spot. I said it's a consideration.
Hey, Cakes, you know, maybe you should get a fake rock and then put it underneath the fake rock.
That old bit.
And by the way, there's no crews in Olney that are like in Casino where they're drilling holes in the safe to steal diamonds.
All I'm saying is that if you have a rinky-dink $80 safe.
No,
from Office
no one's
Depot.
Robbing anything in Olney.
Yeah, I know. You insure it.
Yes, I insured it.
So just put it by your nightstand.
Next to the Raiders lamp?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have a drawer? Do you have like
yes,
a nightstand?
Of course I have a drawer.
Put it right
the
there.
The only time you would need to hide it, maybe, was if like you went on vacation or something. But in your day to day living, you're not going to put it in the Keurig. Coffee.
Yeah,
All I'm thinking is next level thing.
He's a different cat, man. He just is.
Put it next to your fire ladder.
I could do
your
that.
Your fire ladder to escape the house.
The only time someone would take it is if like Kurt or Brendan had a party at your house.
Right,
if you guys were away. And then like
happen.
one of the friends would
there.
Yeah, but I don't think that. Maybe, but I don't think that would happen, but.
Never know.
Well, that's probably the most likely time it would happen.
They would not look in the Keurig pod. Yeah,
you're right there. Nobody would look there.
Nobody would look there.
Unless they're listening. They might be listening now.
All it is a great hiding spot. That's all.
All right, so I mentioned Nick Foles before the break. Word came out, I guess the bottom line is he's going to opt out of his contract. I think he may have to pay the Eagles $2 million.
Correct.
To opt out of his contract. But Odd Shark has come out with odds as to which teams are the favorites to land Nick Foles.
Let me guess. Jacksonville's up there.
Jacksonville is third at +350.
All right. Miami.
Miami is the favorite at +205.
Okay.
They have the Redskins number two at +250.
Okay.
Which just doesn't make sense. 800-636-1067. Do you want to see the Redskins make a play for Nick Foles? I went on 910 The Fan in Richmond with Wes McElroy, and we've been doing that. I believe Jace is going to be on, and he asked me what I would want them to do a quarterback, and I'm just like, suck it up, draft a guy, and don't go this route. But you can also just suck it up and take a big salary hit and dump a bunch of money and say, you know what, we want to have a legitimate chance to win.
Listen,
and go with Nick
in
Foles.
In a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with going after Nick Foles. He'd be a great person to try to build around, I think. Right? He's proven he can win in the playoffs. But with the salaries that they would be committed to quarterback, it's not plausible in my opinion.
What would you?
So that's why that doesn't make sense.
What would he command on the open market? 3 years and $23 million per?
Yeah, probably something in that neighborhood.
3 years, $65 million.
I mean, guys like Case Keenum are making $18 million.
How old
season.
Is Foles? Is he late twenties?
I think he's like in his thirties. Maybe.
Is he in his thirties?
I'll check his. 30s.
I would say he's 29, but you know that's just a pure.
I would have guessed 29 or maybe 30.
That's 30. Guess
he's 30.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do you give him? 3 or 4 years if.
They can't afford him.
No,
you
I'm
can't
just saying,
afford to
I'm
pay
just saying if you could afford him, what would you give him?
Oh, then you would give him that.
Yeah.
If they didn't have the Alex Smith contract weighing him down, but you just can't afford to pay two stars. That's why the Eagles are getting rid of him.
What if he doesn't command that kind of money? What if he commands?
If you can get him for $12 million, sure.
Right.
There's no way.
I think someone's going to pay him $20
million. He's going to get over $20
million. It's like, to me, to compare to Case Keenum now, he does have the Super Bowl, but he doesn't have a complete season of work.
Listen,
all right, let me ask you
this.
He's
getting for $12 million. Go for it.
What if the Dolphins sign him and then Tannehill is available?
He's poop.
I agree, but he's better than anything else you'd have.
Although,
started.
If you look True, at Tannehill's numbers when he's played,
can't stay healthy.
When he's played, his numbers have actually been pretty decent when you look at QBR and quarterback rating.
I've just never been a Tannehill guy. I don't know.
I don't know what you do. I mean, they got a lot of holes to fill, obviously. Do you want him to draft a quarterback at 15 if Kyler Murray's there?
That's what I would do regardless. I would just take the best quarterback available at 15. And you need to groom him. Get him right.
So what do you do? You start Colt until the rookie's available? I don't know.
Just throw your rookie out there. I mean, all these teams say that they're going to have a year to develop a guy. Like, remember the Bills? Josh Allen wasn't supposed to play. 2 weeks later, he's in there.
Well, the other
same thing.
We're
going to play the Browns. We're going to play Tyrod Taylor. We're going to take our time, and then 2 weeks pass, and Baker Mayfield starting.
Yeah,
I just think, you know what? Just start the guy. If you're going to draft a guy in the first round, start him. Why even go through the dance of starting a guy for two?
The Bills
are
trying out Nate Peterman at points. Of course,
well, when your only other option is Peterman, you have no other recourse. But there's just the risk of starting a young guy, and you know. Who knows what happens, if he gets hurt. But also, you could kill his confidence if he doesn't play well. You got to have a pretty good team around a rookie quarterback starting, in the first couple weeks of the season.
Well, maybe Redskins fans would just prefer giving a 2 or 3 year contract to somebody, giving yourself some serious salary problems. But maybe if you get rid of Josh Norman, and you could probably find money to sign Nick Foles.
You can. You could. Oh, sure, they could make it work, but then you're going to suffer in other positions.
Sure. All right, joining us right now is our buddy Tony Massenburg, former Terp great, Wizards analyst for NBC Sports Washington, and he's got a book out with Walt Williams, Lessons from Lenny. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing all right. Some action there last night with the Wizards. Before we get into that, though, talk about your book.
The book is celebrating 100 years of Maryland basketball, and Walt Williams and I talk about the positive influence that Lynn Bias had on us both, and I played 1 year with Lynn Bias and was there when he died in 1986, and Walt came in 2 years later, but he was our favorite player, and we often talked about him when Walt was in college, and what we talk about basically is the last 30 years of Maryland basketball, which Walt and I were a part of as student-athletes, but we also... What a lot of people don't know is that we also came back as alumni. We really helped tutor the guys at the University of Maryland for the years that we played in the NBA. Once we graduated, we were able to come back and help the team win a championship in 2002. And when we talk about the lessons from Lenny, we talk about the things we learned, not just as basketball players at the University of Maryland, but things that we learned in life, and we apply that to how we live and our ideologies and the things that shape us as young men. So the things that went on at the University of Maryland really helped shape our careers as fathers, at careers as players and fathers, and just our philosophy in life in general. So we'd like to talk about that positive influence that came from Lynn Bias and the aftermath of his death.
Yeah, I like it. Different take.
He was so fun to watch, and you know, we've talked about Lenny so many times, and it's one of those days that you'll never forget when he passed away. And like, I'll never forget where I was. I was at a basketball camp in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and couldn't believe it. I was 16 years old. Just one of those days you'll never forget. You always remember where you were when you heard Lenny die.
Where were you, Tony?
Well, I was actually there. So, I talk a little bit about that. I was actually in the emergency room when his mom came out and told us that he had passed. So,
devastating.
We get into that. Yeah, we get into that a little bit, but we really focus more on the aftermath and the recovery process, and that's a little bit of what the football team is experiencing right now with the loss of Jordan McNair. And so we talk a little bit about what it's like being a student athlete and having to deal with those circumstances while at the same time being expected to graduate and the pressures that come with it. So very interesting read. Hope you guys go out and enjoy it. It's available from lessonsfromlenny.com as well as anywhere the books are sold. So
very cool. Lessons from Lenny. All right, so let's talk about this Wizards team. You know, before we even kind of get into the trades, 22-32, a lot of defensive issues. What have you seen this year that's been different from the past, or has it been kind of building to this? I mean, they gave up 50 points in the first quarter last night.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the first quarter is really a clear indication or just what the whole season has been about. I think when they lost John Wall, I thought the team went on a pretty spirited run, and they came out and they played with a sense of urgency, because when you lose an all-star player, your margin of error is significantly decreased, and therefore everybody has to play the game the right way, and you have to do all the little things, setting hard screens, making hard cuts to the basket, and defending at a high level. And I thought the team did that in John Wall's absence initially, and Otto Porter comes off the bench, and you're forced to call up guys from the G League, guys like Jason Randall, and Thomas Bryant was already there. You saw Jordan McRae step up the last couple of games and have an impact. So this is the position they find themselves in, and it has been leading up to this, because you weren't getting max production out of Otto Porter in that small forward position. And so once went down, then you had to make some adjustments.
So, Tony, if you were running this team, would you try and just kind of push the reset button, knowing that John's going to be out all of next year?
And never the same.
He will never be the same because of the injury. To, you know, for a guy who kind of relies on cutting, explosion, and speed. And that would you try and reset this whole process and try and trade Bradley, or do you want to keep Bradley and build around him?
Well, resetting the process is something that Ernie Grunfeld and his brass are going to have to decide if that's, you know, totally what they're doing. And if that means trading Bradley Beal, it's not a trade that I would like to make. And you look at the Otto Porter trade, you know, I don't think it's one they actually wanted to do as much as they felt forced from a luxury tax standpoint. And you certainly can't be your next player coming off the bench. So you look at that, and you know, again, Otto shot the ball a little bit better coming off the bench, but ultimately you weren't getting max production for a max contract. And so you make a trade and you get two players that that average, you know, about 14 points a game. And then, you know, one of those guys has an opportunity to be re-signed, if not both. But when you separate from Otto, it frees you up financially to do some other things. So I really think the move was really motivated by that, also combined with the fact that you need help now, because you're not going to see John Wall for an additional year, you know, in addition to the injury that would have kept him out for the season. Now you've got an even bigger injury that you have to deal with.
Tony, I'm not sure of this. I know you played for a ton of teams in the NBA, Spurs, tons of teams. How often were you traded? I know you had to have been traded at least once. And what was it like when you actually got traded? Like, how did it go down?
I think I was traded twice. Initially, the last trade, a couple of trades I do remember. I actually remember being traded from the Toronto Raptors to the Philadelphia 76ers. And I also was traded from the Vancouver Grizzlies to the Houston Rockets. And both times, again, I was aware there were rumors, but, you know, nobody actually called you in the office and said, we're looking to trade you. So when that happens, you know, especially to a player early in his career, it can be a distraction because it's not something that most NBA guys are accustomed to that first time. You know, it feels a little bit like rejection and at the same time a little bit of uncertainty because you're going to a new situation and you don't always know what's expected of you and you have to show up and do your job and you know, adjust to your teammates in a new city and a new system. That's just part of being a professional. It's not an easy part, but it is part of the profession.
How can you allow 148 points in a regulation game?
When you make a big trade, as a guy is warming up on the basketball court and you're already missing an all-star and you know, you're having to rely on your G League affiliate to call up guys and have as many as, you know, two, three guys on the floor from the G League at the same time. You know, that trade went down yesterday and again, you know, it can be a distraction for the players and so the way things unfolded, I think it was just a lack of manpower. Just, you know, they wouldn't have had enough to get it done last night. They would have struggled with Giannis Antetokounmpo as they did the game before. So even with the full roster, you know, you're going to struggle against the Milwaukee Bucks. And when you deplete the roster or at least make a trade in the middle of a game, that sometimes can affect how guys go out and play that night. We saw it all over the league. It wasn't just the Wizards. Teams that were swirling in trade rumors, a lot of those teams' players did not respond well.
Yeah.
All right, so what's next? If you're the Wizards, if you're your best guess, and you're Ernie, and God only knows what he'll come up with, you know, who's next? I got to imagine there's still going to be a couple more moves.
I can't really say who's next because you don't know.
What would you do if it was you?
Well, I wouldn't trade Bradley Beal. That's a piece that you start to build around, and I think you start looking at how you can effectively improve the team given the restrictions that you have from a salary cap standpoint, from a draft pick standpoint. I think you basically have to do what Terry Leonsis pays you to do, and that's figure out what's the best situation for the Washington Wizards as currently constructed.
Do you move Ariza? Those guys?
I think you entertain offers to move pretty much anybody. But again, depending on what you're being offered, determines whether or not you make moves. I don't think you just give guys away. Mm-hmm. I think the Wizards have said they're not tanking. Mm-hmm. Still, but they also said that they weren't going to trade Otto Porter or Bradley Beal. So,
do you think they can thread that needle? Do you think they can tread water and kind of fight for that eighth seed and still try to get better eventually? Or do you feel like you have to bottom out?
Quite honestly, I don't know how they're going to make the playoffs with the roster as currently constructed. And we're going into the second half of the season where teams genuinely step it up in the All-Star after the All-Star game and jockeying for playoff position, and the Wizards are clearly hobbled and needing to make some more moves. But again, I don't know what will come down the pike, you know, by this afternoon. So that would determine what my moves would be. Is, you know, your moves are going to be whatever the best option is available to you. And, that's probably going to take a little bit more time to play out.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can watch Tony Massenburg on NBC Sports Washington, Wizards analyst. Also, get his book, Lessons from Lenny. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep.
I will say
thank
this.
Thank you, buddy.
I agree with a lot of, you know, basketball fans that say the NBA regular season is boring. But I'll say that this year, for me anyway, it's more interesting in the Eastern Conference because this is the first year in a long time that you've got four legit contenders in the East with all these, you know, especially with the trade that Philly made. Because the last 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it's been LeBron, you know, in Cleveland and Miami. You had no shot of beating them. But now you've got four teams, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Philly, who have a legit shot at winning the East.
We're going to talk a little baseball now, find out what's going on. You know, pitchers and catchers report, what, next week? Tyler Kepner, national baseball writer for the New York Times, joins us. And Tyler, I got to believe that you figured that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper would be signed by now, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, I guess this is a new normal in the baseball offseason, so we just got to wait and wait and wait. A couple guys got signed early. The Nats did a lot of good early moves, I thought. But, you know, not a whole lot of other teams were willing to jump out early.
All right, so what's going on with Bryce? Is he just waiting for Manny to sign, and he's going to sign like 4 minutes after Manny signs? Or I mean, what is going on here, and who do you think the legit players are? We've heard so many different teams.
Yeah, you know, I really do. I've always thought that he wanted to sign last, you know, so he could have the top dollar, and that's how it tends to be with premier Scott Boras clients. You know, they want to get the top dollar, and they're willing to wait for it. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But Manny's taking his time, too. So as far as who's in it, I don't know. I mean, the Giants, that report yesterday, it does make some sense. They have nobody in the outfield at all. You know, they're not in a good spot, really, as an organization, but they could easily sell them on the new Barry Bonds, you know, 26 years old. They brought in Bonds when he was in his 20s, and you know, we all know how well that worked out for the Giants. So when you're entering into a long-term commitment like this would be, I don't think it's so much about where the organization is now. It's about the totality of the deal. So I could see that. But, you know, he's so good that you can make a case for just about any team. So it's really hard to pin down one when you know the industry is flush with cash. And for most of these owners, it's just a decision. It's not like something they can or can't do.
Do you think that if you had to put money on it right now, who's your top team for Bryce?
I wouldn't, but
I wouldn't either.
You know, right? I mean, I still think there's a chance just based on the history of the Nationals working out deals with Boras and figuring out a way to, you know, to move the money around to make it work. I guess I'd put the Nationals first, but I'd take the field over any one team because no one's really emerged as a front runner in this whole thing.
Do you think how would the Nats even want him? There's some debate even here as to whether or not they even want him at this point. I mean, sure, they'd love to have him, all things being equal, but with the amount of money that they're going to have to spend on Rendon and other guys, this money they've already spent, and then having to move maybe Eaton or somebody, do they even want to deal with all that?
Yeah, I'm not. You're right. I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense, really, because of Juan Soto. Ironically, another Boras client. You know, Juan Soto comes up last year, and he's fantastic, and he's cheap and young, and all that. And so they kind of have their replacement in house. They spend all that money on Corbin, and as we said, they made the other moves for the catchers and the relievers and everything. So they're not in a position to be desperate, and usually that's what moves the needle on a deal like this. And you'd think, like, Philadelphia would be desperate because they haven't won in a while and they got the owner itching to spend the money and all that. But we haven't seen that one team make that real impulse, emotional decision. And the Nats are in a good spot because I think they're a really good team without him. Obviously, they've had a lot of success with him, but they've never gotten over that hurdle. So maybe with a different mix, it'll work, and you can save some money to sign Rendon, perhaps. So, no, I agree with you. There may not be a real need for him, but if he falls in their lap, given their history with Boras, you know, I wouldn't discount it.
So did he say who the real players are? Who are we down to?
He doesn't know. He thinks the Nats still have a chance.
But that's it. But who else?
The
who
Giants?
Are the mystery
yeah, I mean,
teams?
The Phillies?
You know, Philadelphia could be in it. Right. I mean, you know, you hear all the teams. San Diego. I mean, the Giants make sense. That's the thing. I mean, I think any kind of team, any team can make sense on this thing because he's going to be better than some outfielder on every team. So, you know, I mean, I always thought at the beginning, Texas, I mean, opening a new stadium. I mean, you know, you got to think creatively with this. And you know Boras is the most creative agent out there. You know, could he engage the Cardinals or somebody? I mean, again, with a player this good, I know he's coming off somewhat of a down year, certainly a down first half. He didn't prove anybody. So I would always take the field. But the Giants report is interesting because you can definitely see that. They have the need. They have the history. They're on the West Coast. You know, and they have a lot of things that could appeal to them.
Here's the one thing when I look at the Nats lineup. And I think you know what you're going to get from Rendon. Dozier's probably going to give you, 30 bombs, maybe more. Zim, if he stays healthy, you kind of know what you're going to get. Turner, you know what you're going to get. In the outfield, I know everyone's high on Soto, Tyler. I get it, and I know why. And I hate to use that phrase, sophomore slump. I think it's cheesy. But if he struggles in his second year, Robles is a rookie. You don't know what you're going to get from him. Eaton, you got no power there. If Soto struggles, which is a real possibility, then you got really no power in the lineup and from the outfield positions. And then I just think that's a risk right there. So it would make sense for me if Bryce was still, if it was still a possibility to acquire him and sign him, at least you know you're going to get a power bat in the outfield because you really don't know what you're going to get from Soto, Robles, and Eaton.
Right, but if you're looking at him as an insurance policy in that scenario, there's a lot cheaper insurance policies you can go to for outfielders, right? I mean, you could pivot to a Carlos Gonzalez or Adam Jones doesn't have a ton of power, but I mean there are a lot cheaper outfielders out there if you're just worrying about protecting Soto and I think they believe Soto's the real deal. I mean I don't think they worry about him.
Right. And then for Manny, what do you think on Manny? You've heard the White Sox so many different times. I mean, I don't think he's going to win much in Chicago, not in the first 3 or 4 years anyway. Do you think that's still a possibility? Or do you think another bigger market team gets involved?
Well, I do think all of these are possibilities. I just don't – the thing I don't know is what he waiting for? I mean, it's been so long that since he's been negotiating with these teams. Like, he's just waiting for a dollar figure that he really likes. But you'd think by now the White Sox or Phillies, would have presented him with, their final offer. So he must not like, obviously, what he's hearing from those teams. I think they have the money. I think certainly the Phillies have the money. I just don't know what the holdup is there. Philadelphia is close to, you get 3 trips to Miami a year, and it's a part of the country he's used to. It's a team that looks like it's improving, with some people he knows. I just don't know what he's waiting for. If a team like the Phillies has the money and the desire to get him, maybe they're just not meeting his price. So crystal ball, I don't know. I like what the White Sox have tried to do surrounding him with his family and friends there. But it hasn't worked yet. So, maybe a bet on mystery team in this case again. It's very, very weird this whole offseason.
It would be
not just for those guys, but a lot of guys.
It would be crazy if both of those big name guys, the two biggest names on the market, didn't sign until March.
Yeah. No, it's bad for the sport. It really is. Yeah. I kind of wrote about that this morning. Like, we saw these proposals going back and forth. The reports came out yesterday from the union and the league, and that's great. They're talking and they're trying to get creative about, maybe bringing the DH or the pitch. I'm sure you've all talked about it. Pitchers can't face have to face at least 3 batters and roster expansion and all that. And that's great. But in talking to players, the underpinning is all just competitiveness. And they are upset that there's so many teams that don't seem willing to spend and are just content to lose. The old tanking thing. And that really offends their sensibilities and it brings down their bottom line and it chokes up the free agent market. It's just not good for baseball. I don't think baseball had a great year last year as an industry. Attendance was down. More strikeouts than hits, more 95 loss teams than ever. And it's continued into this offseason, which began with promise, again, with the Nationals, with Corbin really stepping out and doing a deal that, they overextended themselves, but they got the player they wanted. And it was a little bit more old school in that approach. And right now it's really slowed to a crawl.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Tyler. Appreciate the time, man.
We'll keep an eye on
it. I wish I could have brought that crystal ball for you guys, but I don't have it with me right now. Yeah, I don't have it with me right now.
No,
I
forgot to back it.
All right, man. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Tyler.
See ya. Bye. Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't know any more than we do.
Nobody does.
It's a state secret.
Only Boris and Bryce know.
If you had to bet, when would you bet Bryce signs? Put your money on it right now. We thought it was going to happen last week.
I would have lost all my bets, you know, the last few weeks.
We got a new bet, though. You got some new money.
What are we at, February 7th?
Some new money's coming.
Will he sign by Valentine's Day? A week.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say.
I feel like this is going to stretch out.
I'm going to say March 1st.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.